No, everybody's welcome. Let me just linger in that. It's really good to welcome everybody. There's one person here who's very, very special. Now, you're all probably thinking it's me or it's the person next to me, but it's one person who's aged 5 today. Now, is there anybody aged 5 today? George? Oh, Kay's holding her hand out. I'm sorry, Kay. There's some things I'll believe, but I won't believe that. And I think we should sing Happy Birthday. Don't know if the organist can manage the drop of a hat. Let's sing Happy Birthday to George. Today we're gathering to gather some of God's strength for our lives, and next week we're going to gather some of our singing strength. Do come next week as we have John Bell coming to lead our worship for us. He's internationally recognized as a leader of congregational singing, but also as a strong preacher. So he'll be leading our worship. Come along and be led by him. But do come along to the Saturday afternoon sessions. The afternoon session is for anybody involved in helping lead singing, like our choir members, our organist, or anybody who wants to help lead the singing. And the evening session is just a good sing. I've been to one of those and it's great. And he really has this ability to get congregations singing their heart out. So do come along next Saturday and enjoy growing in singing and learning how we as a congregation can sing more powerfully. Because it's so wonderful when we sing our hearts out. And it will help us to sing our hearts out. So do come along next Saturday and Sunday and as we share together. But for now, we're focusing on how Jesus is a healer and helps us in life, not just ourselves, but others. In the book of Exodus, just after God has parted the Red Sea and delivered the people of God from the attacks of Pharaoh, the people sing to God with all their hearts to praise God, but then they start wandering in the desert and come across poisonous waters, and they start grumbling about why God has led them to waters that cause illness. And God replies, if you listen carefully to God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his guidance, he says, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. In the face of coronavirus and such illnesses around, how does God heal today? What can we expect of God? We'll be looking at how Jesus healed and how he can still heal today. But part of it is us opening up to the power of God and just being still before God. So we're going to sing two hymns now together, both about being still. The first one is number 48 in Mission Praise, Be Still and Know. And then we'll go straight on into Be Still, for the presence of God is here. We sing them now.
Thank you.
Can I just say to Johnny and Peter, we'll do our first reading after the next hymn. So we'll do our next hymn first. Anybody know the story of the Gruffalo, adults and children? One adult, two adults, three adults, four adults, five adults, six adults. Ah, they're coming out of the woodwork now. I have to admit, this young man knows it. Do you know it, Brody? Do you know the story?
No, you know it.
The Gruffalo. Do you know it, George? Casey? No? Oh, well, I only discovered it because Isaac was telling me all about it. It's about a monster there that you can see who scares people, but actually was very helpful. And it ends up, he goes behind this little mouse, and everybody else runs away, and the mouse gets confidence because he thinks he's scaring everybody away. But it's actually the Gruffalo is walking behind him. Now, Jesus isn't scary, but he comes close to us and walks near to us and gives us confidence to do all sorts of things in life. And I hope you four boys, gosh, isn't that good, will all gain courage and confidence knowing Jesus is behind you. And he won't scare people away, but he'll help you grow in confidence. One of the things he does, I've shown you this puppet before, he helps us rise up. But sometimes we get tangled up like this puppet is. And Jesus gives us guidance how to untangle ourselves. And if we listen to his guidance, we can become untangled and we can do even more in life and amazing things. Today in church, we're going to hear about some of the amazing things Jesus did to help people. He healed people who were regarded as nasty people wrongly, and Jesus went over and befriended them, and he touched them in such a nice way that it gave them encouragement to know that they're welcome. And he does that with us all, even latecomers who are very welcome. Jesus extends his hand of touch and welcome. That was the way he healed one person who others didn't want to have anything to do with. Another person just reached out to touch him and they were helped. Another person was really wanting help, and Jesus was so busy, he was helping lots of people. But this woman cried out for help and he stopped and he helped her. Jesus is the sort of person who hears us when we cry for help. And he says he listens to our prayers when we cry for help, and he'll help us. He doesn't always heal us. Sometimes we get sick and Jesus just tells us to do what the doctor says, and we listen to the doctor. But sometimes he can give us the spirit inside to do great things. And George, you're 5 now, so you'll do great things in years to come, and you'll grow and become bigger. And I hope you'll become bigger inside so that you can get the strength and the spirit and the guidance. And sometimes when you make a mess of things and you get all tangled up like everybody in the church does sometimes, you can listen to Jesus' guidance and he'll help you and guide you what the best thing to do is. Because Jesus helps people and he'll help each of the boys, and if there's girls coming, they'll help them as well. So we're going to say a wee prayer now. Dear God, thank you for birthdays like Georgie's today. Bless him today and in all the years to come. But bless Brody, bless Isaac, bless Casey as well as George in their lives. When they get into trouble, may they know they've always got a friend in Jesus who will help them and hear them when they cry to him in prayer. Bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a minute, you're going to go through to Sunday Club if you want, but we're going to sing a children's type of song called Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands. And we can all sing it. And maybe in the last verse, you can go through. So have a nice time in Sunday Club. Part of the answer to the dilemma of healing was there in that children's hymn. Jesus works through us to heal people as well as directly. And we'll be thinking about that today with the dilemma that we'll be reading a number of episodes on how Jesus healed people. And the question is, how does he heal today? And why doesn't he heal today? And what can we expect from him with coronavirus around? And how should we respond? All these questions about healing for today are some of the issues that we can get glimpses of answers from our readings today. So we start with early on in Mark's Gospel, and we read from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 45.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought Jesus, all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Thank you. Jesus healed many people, but he didn't heal everybody. He had to move on from that town because he had a bigger purpose of trying to share and teach and preach about the kingdom of God, trying to sort society, if you like, trying to open up people to a wider truth and peace and health. Jesus went about with various parts of his mission, and healing was just part of it. Attacking evil and overcoming evil was another part of it. And then in the midst of it comes a man with leprosy, the most antisocial of diseases in those days, so that nobody would touch a leper. Nobody would allow a leper into their house. They were shunned out into the ghettos where they had to live in squalor and disease and get no help. And Jesus touches the man with leprosy. He goes where others won't go and opens up to people of any background. That's part of his healing power, and it's part of his mission to open up and include the untouchables. Johnny rightly translated verse 41, Jesus was filled with compassion. But the word on our screen had it as Jesus was indignant. The word can equally be translated, Jesus was angry. On the one hand, he was full of compassion for that man who others excluded. But he was equally angry with what was wrong in society that caused all that sort of illness and squalor and disease. And it's still the case today that we need to be open to the causes as well as having the compassion. And it's interesting that once the man was healed, Jesus sent him to the priest to go through some religious rituals. Why would he do that? Well, it occurred to me it's very relevant to our world today. Imagine your friend comes back from Hong Kong or China or Spain or Italy, and there's questions, has that friend got coronavirus? He might need a certificate to show, look, I'm clean, no problems, let me get on with my life. Jesus made sure that that man could go about society by getting, if you like, the certificate from the local priest. Jesus cares to ensure not only people get the best health, but that they are included in society. That's part of the healing mission of Jesus. And that's part of the mission that he gives us as well. Let's just note finally that Jesus placed so much emphasis on prayer that he had to go apart and take a time of prayer, if you like, to build himself up with strength to face whatever. Prayer, we'll find in the readings to come, is so important to the whole healing ministry in the wider sense of Jesus and of us. And yet it's something we take too little time to do. It still amazes me how few people come to our faith and prayer sessions monthly. How few people come to our evening services. It's as if people think, I've been to church once, that'll do me. And yet Jesus prayed regularly so that he could go out and face all the battles. We need to take more time, as we sang at the start, to be still and open up to the living power of Jesus Christ. Let's do just a little of that now in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, thank you that in the midst of all that goes on in our world, all that can scare us, all the chaos and trouble, you bring sense and purpose. Amongst darkness and despair, you bring hope and light. And amongst hatred and pain, you bring healing and forgiveness and peace. Lord, we need some of your peace and your healing power in our lives. We make a mess of our lives. We do get tangled up in so many different ways. So we come to be still before you and to learn from Jesus and to listen for your word of guidance and peace to us in our tangled lives. So we come as we are with all our weaknesses and ask for you to journey with us. Forgive us for the mistakes we make. Forgive us for the times we don't open up to you, but we just charge ahead. Forgive us and guide us and lead us and help us know, just like the Gruffalo, you are close to us and will be with us. So help us go forward with courage, with hope, and with your grace open to other people. So in a moment's silence, we bring you the concerns that are going round in our minds or hearts. Lord God, speak to each of us your still, small voice of calm. And grant us your peace which passes understanding. And hear us as we further say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next reading comes further on in Jesus' ministry, after he's gone up a high mountain with three of his disciples who begin to see that he really is the Christ. And then they come down and find that the other disciples are arguing with the crowds over their failure to heal a boy who's ill. So we take up events at verse 16 of Mark chapter 9.
What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute person, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer.
Johnny, the disciples couldn't heal, and sometimes we must wonder, why doesn't God heal my friend, my loved one, or sort that situation? We have a dilemma in life between knowing that Jesus heals sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. And we're exploring something of that. We won't get a complete answer. We had a session on Sunday evening about that, and the minister preaching, who's going to be the moderator of the General Assembly, gave his answers, but they again weren't complete answers. Why doesn't God sort everything? It seems sometimes he doesn't micromanage, was the minister's answer on Sunday evening. He doesn't get down to every detail. But to me, sometimes he does, and it's amazing how he answers prayer. Sometimes he does heal, but sometimes he clearly relies on modern medicine. That illness that the boy had could be described as something akin to epilepsy as we understand it now. And modern medicine can do so much for epilepsy. It would seem that Jesus doesn't do miracles today when they're not needed, and modern medicine is the answer. But he also gives us a big clue that this problem can only be solved by prayer. The actual words could also say by fasting as well. In other words, sustained, disciplined prayer of opening up to God's power and letting that power in. God can heal, but we need to open up to his power, and so often we don't. Prayer is part of the way that God can bring his healing power into our lives and into the lives of others. And it's a power we neglect so often. We're going to sing again, "When Jesus the Healer Passed Through Galilee." One of the pointers to how Jesus heals today was in that fifth verse. He sends us out to be healers in so many different ways. He sends you out to bring his healing touch, to bring his care, his compassion, his energy, his spirit, his prayers. We are the agents, as are other people. Doctors and nurses, as we'll see partly in our final reading, some selected verses from Matthew chapter 9.
Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God, who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And from verse 18, While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And from verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can you see how it finishes there with Jesus sending his followers out, sending you out to bring his healing power and spirit, sending others out? He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. How often are you praying for your GPs, for the nurses, for our hospitals, for the doctors and nurses, and for more to come? That's part of the way he heals, by us praying for those who are doing the healing power and asking for more. Let's keep praying for all in the National Health Service and for all that they do, including, I have to say, the pharmacists, who are very special, because there's one here today. But let's keep praying for those who are carrying Jesus' healing power in our world today. Another point, as we can see, was it was the friends who brought Jesus. That story of the paralyzed man is told more fully in Mark's gospel. But in both gospels it says, when they saw their faith, the man was healed. Our faith together, our prayers together in church can do immense things. Together, our faith can be strengthened. Together, our prayers can be strengthened. Church remains important. But we also see Jesus emphasizing your sins are forgiven. Part of what he heals is not just our physical body, but our spirits inside. And modern medicine emphasizes so much about how spirit inside is so important. Stuart at the back of the church will tell you that when he was first diagnosed with cancer, he was told his commando spirit will help him get through the battle that he had to face. And that's so true, and it's even more so true of the spirit of Jesus Christ that can help us face whatever comes along and even battle things. So modern science calls it mind, body, spirit. Jesus offers that forgiveness that can be so important in the healing process in general, but also important in himself. And again, we then moved on and we saw how Jesus had time to spot the single woman reaching out to him for help amidst the crowds. He spots the individual, not just the crowds. And he brings his healing power. In various different ways, we can see Jesus Christ at work if we look for him and we open up to it. And part of that is through our work as a church and a congregation. So we take up our offerings now as the choir sing. Let's join together in prayer for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've been thinking today of people who are sick and of how you can heal in body and mind and spirit. So we pray for all those in our world today who suffer and for your healing power to be at work. We remember all who are sick at this time, those whose lives are affected by physical illness, but by also mental and spiritual illness. We think of those affected by the addictions of drugs and those who are troubled by long-term physical or mental pain. Those who are struggling with the pains of old age and the young who are struggling. For those we know and those we don't know, we pray for your healing power at work. And especially, we pray for your blessing upon those who convey modern medicine in our society, in our community. We ask you to bless our doctors, our nurses, our carers, the cleaners, and all who serve in our hospitals and GP practice, the pharmacists and everybody who's working away in our chemists and in our GP practice to bring your healing power today. And as we face new viruses, Lord, we pray you will guide all in authority to do their best to take wise action, not only here in our community, but across our country and across our world. Lord, there are many things not right in our world. It gets all tangled up. So we pray for our government more generally in Scotland and the United Kingdom. May they take wise action, not just regarding sickness and illness, but regarding the other dangers of our world. We pray for our church as one of the agents for your healing peace. Guide and bless everybody who leads our church in taking it forward so that we can share your goodness, your kingdom, in more and more ways in this community. Bless all of us in the actions we take to share your healing touch with our neighbor, with our friends, with others in our community. Help us be open to sharing your goodness. Hear these prayers and all the silent prayers of our hearts, for we ask them in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing again, "We cannot measure how you heal," to the tune "Ye Banks and Braes." Jesus undoubtedly healed. He healed in many different ways. So what should we expect today? One of the things we should expect is that Jesus has compassion on those who are sick. The word compassion rings out throughout those our readings. Jesus has compassion and still does on those who are sick and expects us to show that compassion. But he also had anger at the causes of sickness and illness and the way religion even had its part to play. So we should expect Jesus to have compassion today, but also anger at the underlying causes that can cause so much unnecessary illness, like poverty and injustice and squalor and greed. But that he healed is clear. As Matthew's gospel summarizes it, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. His mission was wider than just healing. He was going out to preach the whole gospel, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and it's still relevant today. A report from the Church of England a few years ago said it's still a time to heal in the different ways that Jesus heals. He heals with the power of the cross. Sometimes, yes, people die, and it's still the way our evolutionary world is. I believe in what science tells us, the way the world works, and the world works that it's an evolutionary process involving death and sickness. But we grow stronger over the centuries through that process. We gain modern medicine through the process. But that Jesus is at work to calm that process at times is undoubted. He heals in wider ways, ultimately, yes, in resurrection beyond the grave, where all bodies are healed and there is a new life for us all who put our trust in Jesus Christ. But he heals even through the power of the cross, bringing that spiritual healing, that forgiveness that so many desperately need. Because we are mind, body, and spirit working together. And so often, spiritual and mental processes are behind our physical illness. So it is still a time for healing in the wider sense, and sometimes amazingly. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the leper and sent the person to be included in society. He still challenges us to reach out and touch people with his love and care and inclusion. That's what our church is about. It's why we're partly building a church that will be here, not just for me or you, but for our community, to bring that healing power to anybody who seeks it in the different ways that Jesus offers us. And faith somehow is at the center of it all. That woman reached out with just a seed of faith, and Jesus felt her and healed her. And when he saw the friends bringing their paralytic friend, it was their faith together that Jesus responded to. Faith is hard in this world where we see healing sometimes and we don't see it sometimes. But faith is necessary in the healing process. If you're going to a chemist and she gives you some pills, you have to trust her that you'll take the pills. When you go to a doctor or a surgeon, you have to trust them that they know what they're talking about. And so too with the living God. You have to trust to a degree to be open to his power. And it's hard, which is why that father said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," and why that man was my former minister's favorite character, because we've all got that balance of doubt and faith, and we need to open up and grow in faith so that we can open up more and let the power of Jesus in and work through us. Jesus rightly said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I put up with you?" We need to open up to the power that is available to us. Because it's messy and it's not easy to find that balance of faith and practical steps. But know this, that Jesus does heal through people, and we need to open up to his guidance and his power. But it's beyond just physical power. It's about the whole kingdom of God. Dealing with what's wrong in society, opening up to include those who are excluded, welcoming and caring and loving. And so Jesus at sometimes had to move on. Yet sometimes he had to move on and respond to people's faith as he did there. He sent his disciples out to join him and to go and share in that preaching and sharing of the kingdom of God. Faith was relevant, but see how Jesus forgave the man. It's this whole mind, body, spirit. Jesus knew that knowing forgiveness can be even more important than physical healing. Knowing his spirit inside us to help us face whatever lies ahead is important. And sometimes religion can get in the way of that, stopping people from knowing that power of Jesus Christ as it did then. Modern medicine, I think, talks about wholeness and welcomes that mind, body, spirit approach. Chaplains are included in hospitals because we need not just physical healing, we need spiritual healing. And Jesus comes to offer that partly through his guidance, partly through challenging us all to be part of church in this community, sharing his love and goodness and care. And so he came to challenge, as we thought a couple of weeks ago, not only civic authorities, but religious authorities as well, to make sure our church is caring for our people in our community and not just by ourselves. He came to be a friend of sinners, not just physically heal. He came to come and offer peace and rest, as our church notice board emphasizes. In so many different ways, Jesus comes to heal mind, body, and spirit. And so all the titles that we're thinking about Jesus are so valid. But in amongst it all, know that Jesus is the healer who comes to heal our hearts, our bodies, our spirits. So as we go through this year, just one of the other sides of Jesus that we can see is he wants to heal, and he wants to heal through people especially. Because he sent them out and told us to pray for more workers in the field. And he sent the disciples out, as he sends us out, to be part of that healing process. And one of the ways we can do it is through praying. Don't just leave prayer to the odd occasion. Grow in prayer. Jesus says healing power can come as we grow in prayer and open up to his spirit. Grow in disciplined prayer and be praying in your own life and be praying together. Prayer heals by giving us the strength inside, at the very least, to face our battles. Prayer is part of Alcoholics Anonymous as a key power that can give people power to overcome what drags them down. But it's not a power that we can just tie in. Last week, and in the evening service, we heard of a famous preacher called David Watson, who I knew from my younger days. He was a person of the Billy Graham variety. He had opened up the world to the power of Jesus Christ, and then he was hit with cancer. And his friends guided him, if you pray hard enough, you'll get the answer and your cancer will go. And people were praying around the world for him. Never, said the moderator of the General Assembly to be, has one person known more prayer. But he wasn't healed. Because ultimately, it's God who has the answer. for when and how. And David Watson, if you read his books, made the mistake in his finer book of saying, if I tell God enough that this is what must happen, then it will happen. We cannot tell God what should happen. We can ask and we must trust, as Jesus did in the final stages of his life, by saying, nevertheless, O God, I trust you. Let your will be done. Give me the strength to face this. And so we live in a world, an evolutionary world, where there is sickness and pain. But there are means to help overcome that pain through modern medicine. Modern medicine is open to chaplaincy and to prayer and mind, body, spirit. And we have our part to play in supporting that. We have our part to play as a church. And so our emblem for our stewardship campaign was about our sharing and caring and giving of faith and other things to help people. Jesus heals through our wider work of the church, through our prayer, and sometimes amazingly, miraculously. Don't doubt that. Jesus still heals miraculously. But I don't know the balance between when he does and when he doesn't. But I do know that most of the time he works through medicine and through people sharing that touch and sharing that compassion. And so I want to finish with that tension that we have today between us emphasizing we all need to hold out a hand, a caring hand to those who are sick, and touching people in whatever way we can to show Christ's compassion. But then the guidance under this modern coronavirus to make sure we wash our hands and actually not touch people. Last week, because I had flu, I didn't shake hands. And today, I won't shake hands with you as you leave, because if I shake hands with one person and that person has a virus, I could pass it on to the next person. Churches have received guidance not to share the peace where we shake hands. Churches have been given guidance not to share the common cup, because we can pass on viruses. We're asked to use good sense at such a time. Good sense. And so King Edward today, some of the people bowed like this to me. Feel free to do that. Some of the apparently Chelsea pensioners on television did an elbow bump. So some of the people gave me an elbow bump. Whatever way that you feel, to show we're open to each other, but we're also listening to good sense. And the second bit of good sense for healing power today that Jesus gives us is be open to common sense and grace. We've been encouraged to go and look for hand gel, to use hand gel. But there's been panic buying. The session clerk of King Edward Church tried to find some in Aberdeen and couldn't get any. The minister of Macduff Church managed to source some on the internet and was going to be charged £100 for it, with £17 delivery charge, which by the time he got to the end of the negotiation on the internet had been doubled in price. Let's use some common sense. Let us as Christians not panic, but pass on the grace of Jesus Christ in our daily lives and trust in the healing power of a God who will be at work through doctors and nurses and governments in an illness that apparently in many ways is just like another flu. So let's use common sense. Let's be open to the guidance we're given. But let's also trust in our medics and in a God who sends Jesus Christ to be with us and tells us not to panic. He is the God who heals. Let's be open to his guidance today. Amen. We close our service by singing our closing hymn, which will be on the screens. The God of Heaven is present on earth. Thank you. So go out from here as followers of Jesus Christ, as his agents of his healing power. Go and may the blessing of God, who we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard and guide you this day and in the days to come.